morning. Hi, this is Amy DeVita, a top nonprofit, and we are here today speaking with Ruth Sherman, we're very excited to announce that she is going to be one of the featured speakers at Fairleigh Dickinson University's Conference for Women in Nonprofit Leadership, which is coming up on May 19th in New Jersey. So I have some specific questions for Ruth, and let's get started by saying hello. And Ruth, could you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and your specialty?
Hi, Amy. Thanks very much for having me. And let me say a few things about what I do. I work with CEOs, C-level executives, people who are generally in leadership positions, and also Hollywood celebrities and other public figures. Five of my clients have won Oscars, won the Pulitzer Prize, but as I like to say, you don't have to be famous to work with me. And what these people are all looking to do is to have a greater impact in their public presentation, whether that be on stage, on camera, or in the media. So that's where I come in, and as I said, lots of great clients, and I'm looking forward to speaking to the Women in Leadership event at Fairleigh Dickinson, and I appreciate your having me.
Well, it's great to hear from you, and we're so looking forward to learning from you because of the experiences that you just mentioned. So let's get started. I have a couple of questions that I think will help everyone out there in their responsibilities day-to-day at nonprofits. So let's start with my first question, Ruth. As you mentioned, you've worked with executives and celebrities to help them really better influence people and effectively communicate. So could you give us a little bit of perspective on how really these skills are also important to a nonprofit leader?
Certainly, and I think here the operative word is leader. These skills are leadership skills. And so what we tend to think about these skills, and it's still true even after 25 years of doing this and trying to change people's perceptions, it is still true that most people think of these types of skills, presentation skills, interpersonal skills, communication skills, as soft. That is the word that is generally assigned to these skills, as opposed to hard skills, which are numerical skills, math skills, technical skills, bottom line skills. But in fact, these are leadership skills. They are essential professional skills that every leader, whatever business you're in, whatever industry you are in, you need in order to be able to get your work done. So the way I like to look at these skills, or the way one should look at these skills, are they are the operational vehicles for your technical skills. In order to persuade people to do things for you, whether that is donors who are, who have deep pockets and who you'd like to have donate some money or donate more money or support you on a particular project, or they are volunteers whom you have to persuade to stick with you during difficult times. We all know how difficult it can be to get volunteers together and to get them to help you, as wonderful as they are. They have other lives and other things that they need to do. And other stakeholders, even your clients, particularly your clients, whom who are so important to serve, but also to lead, to help them make the right decisions and the right choices, regardless of what it is. So these are leadership skills, and I believe that the more people can think about it that way, the more likely they are to be able to achieve these skills. And I will tell you, Amy, that the people who have mastered these skills are more successful. It is that simple. And as a result, their lives and their businesses are easier. And who doesn't want that? We want our lives and our businesses, our business lives, to be easier. And so master these skills, these are the types of skills that have their own technical element. So they may not be math skills per se, but they enable us to persuade, as I said earlier. They also enable us to communicate the other, what we would call the hard stuff.
Without the ability to really engage our donors and our staff and our volunteers and our partners, just as you said, all of those stakeholders, not much can get accomplished by ourselves. So you can sit and change spreadsheets many times, but that's not going to necessarily help your cause.
No, it's not going to move people. Not going to move people to action.
Move people.
So
that's
yeah,
it.
It's these skills that move people to action for sure.
Looking at the conference that's coming up, the topic that you're speaking about at the conference is Command Any Room, which I love because I would love to know how to do that. So I'm really looking forward to that part of the day. And it really fits neatly, I think, in making an impact in a changing world, which is the theme for the conference this year. So in your opinion, what changes have you seen in the world that really have had the greatest effect or impact on the ability for one to command a room?
Well, Amy, you know, from my perspective, the biggest change has been the expansion of information and the way it comes at us from all directions. So, of course, we're on our smartphones, our tablets, our computers, and we've become, you know, we are all unofficial journalists, so to speak. We all have opinions that we can now communicate to our stakeholders, and we can do that pretty quickly, really at the speed of light, which is relatively new over the past 5 to 10 years, and of course the expansion of social media. But here's where it really narrows down to the realm of leadership in the context that we're speaking about today, and that is this, that it has become so important to be very polished as a communicator. So we're talking about the Fairleigh Dickinson Conference for Women, the nonprofit world, and this is an opportunity for so many women who do such great work to get together, to network, to, you know, to see speakers like myself, to engage with speakers like myself. I'm so looking forward to meeting everyone there, for example. And the way you present yourself is going to immediately deliver an impression to everyone there. So when we are at these types of events, and frankly, everywhere else we are in the world at any given time, we are forming impressions by other people. So the fact is that the way you present yourself, what you're wearing even, the way you stand, how your gestures move, your voice, and all of those aspects that I term nonverbal communication, everything that we do without using words, help other people, your communication partners, to form impressions about you. Another thing, of course, is video, and that is ubiquitous online today. So we all have to be able to look into a webcam and engage that way. Now, the trick there, of course, is that the webcam is inanimate, and it doesn't, you know, it doesn't shake its head and tell you you're doing fine and not to worry and don't be scared and all of that. It doesn't smile. It simply sits there and blinks at you or shines a light in your face, a little, I call it the little green cyclops when it's on, at least on my laptop. But the idea that you can engage that way, whether you're making videos for your nonprofit, you're trying to engage people in that way, or you are doing a video interview, you're doing a video conference, or you're interviewing for something, or you're interviewing someone. You know, as employers, for example, we have to be able to vet people online. It's a lot more economical than having everybody get together live and in person. It's a way to vet people that way. But the bottom line here is that we have the power to leave an impression that is extremely positive. We have a choice there, and the choice should be to make the best impression we possibly can. And with information so, as I said earlier, ubiquitous, the way we communicate today, I think this has been one of the greatest changes in the world. And, you know, it's good and bad, honestly, because there's a lot of information out there that's not legitimate and that we have to be very careful about what we engage with and what we believe, because it's easy to fall into a pattern of believing, you know, there's an echo chamber out there. I'm not going to get into that in any detail right now. But the point, again, is that we have a choice as to whether we want to leave a good impression or a bad impression. And this is one of the things that I like to work on with people. Make sure that your presentation in these types of situations is polished. And it's a lot of work to get there. But once you get that into your head, that the impression that you make is should be polished and it should be carefully executed, it is amazing how much traction anyone can get out of it. And I don't care, by the way, about whether you think you're good looking or whether you think you need to lose a few pounds or you didn't go to the right school or you're not driving the right car, whatever it is, none of that matters. It's all in your mission and who you are and how you present yourself to the world. It is an amazing way to engage with people and to have them think of you as the leader that you are, as a player.
Ruth, that is amazing. I'm sitting here really nodding my head. Not that you would know that, because unfortunately we're not looking at each other, so you don't have that nonverbal communication that speakers usually can get some feedback from when you're meeting face-to-face or you're commanding a room. So from what I'm hearing, it sounds like one of the biggest changes really is the technology has really kind of changed what we define as the room. The room could be this call, for example, where we are looking at our screens but we don't see each other. Or the room could be a Skype conference where we have video back and forth, but it's kind of delayed. It's not quite the same as meeting face-to-face over coffee. And those are really significant changes, and as you mentioned and underscored, which I appreciate and I think we'll all take away the value of it, is that it's really being polished, and that doesn't necessarily mean having to go lose a few pounds or having to be the best looking person in the room, but really understanding what your audience wants, what they're looking for, how to engage them, and knowing your stuff about your mission. So that's sort of what I take away as being polished. What are your thoughts? Sorry.
Oh, no problem. I'm sorry to interrupt you. No, absolutely all of that, Amy. And, you know, so command any room is really a much wider, right? What you're saying, and you're summarizing it so well, is that it's a much wider and bigger and more varied set of rooms, quote unquote, than ever before. And it is not going away. That continues to be the case, and it will only expand. And we, again, have a choice as to whether we want to occupy those rooms in a way that, you know, has people perk up and pay attention to us. And I think, and let me make this point as well, as a woman, and you're a woman, and this is a conference for women, we know that we have work to do when we are in rooms, especially as they're populated in large part by other men, or perhaps majority men, businesses male-formed, businesses generally populated by men. So how do we behave and interact with men in those types of situations and continue to make those impressions? Well, here's the good news, Amy, and I want to make sure that your listeners know this, and I'm going to speak about this in more detail when we're at the conference. The truth is that men are no better at this than women. They're no better at this than women. So there's a tremendous opportunity to polish up those skills and embrace these skills and really, you know, show yourself for who you really are and the mission that you really have and engage in that way. So there's a tremendous opening, I think, for the women who, an opportunity for women who are willing, as I said, to put in the time, do a little bit more work.
Ruth, I want to thank you so much for sharing your wonderful, amazing expertise in communications with us. And for those of us who will be at the conference, we're definitely in for a treat. So thank you. How can our listeners get in touch and learn more from you?
Oh, thanks for asking, Amy. They can go to my website, which is ruthsherman.com, and there is a contact form, and if they fill that out and they want to know more, I'm happy to respond to them that way. And one more thing, Amy, and I love telling people this, I send out a newsletter every month, and if they subscribe, I cover all manner of communication topics, but the best thing about it is the minute you subscribe, you're going to receive 3 5-minute training videos of me talking about presentation skills and how to command a room and a series of checklists and to-dos and what to do and what not to do and templates that over the ensuing few days.
Thank you, Ruth. Everybody check out Ruth's website, and if you sign up, as she mentioned, you will immediately receive wonderful educational tools to help you with your communication skills. So long, everybody. Thanks for joining us.